Public Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of Chicago's St. Mary of the Woods on the beautiful, cold northwest side in Chicago. Here on Relevant Radio 950, time is 9 o'clock on this frigid, cold Monday morning in Chicago. Co-host Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning, Graz.
And we just managed to entice you back from warmer climes, I understand.
Whoa, gone for a few days last week with Mother in a warmer climate, but it wasn't that warm. But Chicago is frigid, and a very blessed and happy New Year to you, Graz, and
thank
to
you.
All our listeners. And I need to make this a very important announcement. I'll read the invitation that was sent to me. The Most Reverend William Patrick Callahan, Administrator of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, cordially invites you to the solemn celebration of the Eucharist on the occasion of the installation of the Most Reverend Jerome Edward Listecki, the 11th Archbishop of Milwaukee, in the presence of the Most Reverend Pietro Sambi, Apostolic Nuncio, on Monday, the 4th of January, which is today, on the Feast of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, the year 2010, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the Cathedral of St. John the Evangelist in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So to the Most Reverend, the Archbishop of Milwaukee, Jerry Listecki, our congratulations and prayers. And Jerry is one of our own from the Archdiocese of Chicago, ordained to the priesthood back in May of 1975. So a priest now 34 and a half years, and now the new Archbishop of Milwaukee. So to the Archbishop, our prayers are with you.
We were seminarians together, Jerry and I.
You were.
He did much better than I, apparently, though.
Were you classmates?
No, he was a year ahead of me. He's much older than I am, yes.
Okay, and Jerry was 4 years ahead of me. And
you keep reminding us.
Yeah, that's right. And so a tremendous, tremendous
former pastor of St. Ignatius Parish on the north side.
In Chicago, and he and I used to play basketball together on the Running Revs, the priest basketball team for the Archdiocese. And Jerry was
he's
I don't think is anymore, but a great competitor, tough basketball player, tough football player, and a former chaplain to the military.
That's right.
So thank you, Michael. That's right, a former chaplain to the military. So our prayers are with the new Archbishop of Milwaukee, the Most Reverend Jerome Listecki, and God bless you as you shepherd the people. But Jerry always remained a Chicago Bear fan and not a Packer
yeah.
fan. And so what's our phone number here, Graz? Where's that sheet?
2312534.
Jim, what's our number here?
One.
We'll get it for you. I can't find that sheet. I think producer Jim Dish hit it somewhere.
I can give my
but the first
number.
Half... Give your cell number. The first half hour, the Parliament of the World's Religions and the Worldwide Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, which is the week of January 18th. So our first half hour, we have with us in studio Sister Joan McGuire, the Director of Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs, a trustee of the Council for Parliament of the World's Religions. Also with us in studio, Jason Rankin, the Assistant to the Director of Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs.
And a very sad Northwestern fan.
A participant in the Melbourne Parliament. And also, Jason was at the game for the Outback Bowl last Friday.
Yes.
Northwestern against Auburn. And yes. Jason is in profound mourning.
He's wearing all black clothes.
All black,
well.
Yes.
And inside, Jason, it was a great game, wasn't it?
It was a fantastic game.
It
yes.
was one of the
proud of,
best
very proud of the Cats.
College games,
yes.
bowl games in the history. And Northwestern could have pulled off probably the greatest comeback in bowl history, but fell a little bit short. But I'm glad you showed up today.
Exactly.
And do we have with us, we have on the phone, Aseo Haribe, president of the Buddhist Council of the Midwest. Oh,
she's coming in.
Oh, she's coming in.
It's a pastor trip.
Okay, then we have with us here on the phone Pastor Tripp Hudgens, pastor of Community Church of Wilmette. Tripp, welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you very much, and Jason, my condolences.
Thank you, Tripp.
There we go.
Tripp, are you from Auburn?
I am not from Auburn. I'm from Virginia. We have nothing to claim. Though the tech did well. That's nice to know.
It'd be funny if you were from Auburn and rub it in Jason's face.
Showing a greater need for ecumenical outreach.
Yeah, that's yes.
Right. That's right. Well, welcome, Sister Joan and Jason. Sister Joan, first tell us, what is happening in 2 weeks when we call the Worldwide Week of Prayer for Christian Unity? How did that all begin?
Well, in some ways you can say it began 100 years ago, the Week of Prayer, because that's when people started praying for Christian unity. It started with Anglicans and Orthodox and other Protestants, and has evolved until for these 100 years, the Catholic Church joined in after the Vatican II. And since that time, the World Council of Churches and the Catholic Church have sponsored this Week of Prayer for Christian Unity for these number of years. And it's very significant in that it goes out to, the 1.5 billion Christians throughout the world, because all the Catholic bishops receive notice that this is going on and to encourage their people, and all the members of the World Council of Churches, which is a large part of the Protestant and Anglican and Orthodox churches, also are informed. So I think something, the universal idea of it, that during this week, that many, if they all read their mail, will be praying together, and that whole solidarity is very, very important. So that's the universal point, and then there's also the local.
Sister Joan, tell us, what exactly are we praying for during this week of for Christian unity?
Visible Christian unity, so that the all of the Christian churches are in communion with each other in a way, in a very visible way, in terms of the life of the church, their beliefs, the order of the church, and what that's going to look like, no one has yet put it down completely. But many great movements working toward it.
So are we looking for the reality we had in the first 1,000 years, or is it going to be a different reality if that prayer were realized?
Yeah. Well, I think it would be that would be correct. Although at that time we also already had one of the big divisions in that first 1,000. But yes, those churches, when they were in full communion, and if you just take the Orthodox and the Catholic at that time, you would see that they had very different ways of worshiping, different liturgical styles. The West went more into theology. The East, you learn your theology through your liturgy. So what it will look like when we bring in all the gifts from the Protestant churches over the last 500 years and the gifts that the Orthodox and the Catholics and Anglicans have, we don't know what it will look like.
And Pastor Tripp Hudgens, pastor of Community Church of Wilmette and also a member of the American Baptist Churches of Metro Chicago, you are hosting the 2010 Week of Prayer for Christian Unity service in your area or for the Chicagoland area, Tripp?
It's right up here in Wilmette in our congregational space. We're very excited to do that. We're, like I said, we're located up here in Wilmette, Illinois, just north of the city. And we're thrilled to be hosting the event on the afternoon of January 24th, 4 o'clock. Bring your friends. The local ecumenical group, our religious leadership here in Wilmette, is very active. We know each other well, and we pray with one another. We gather together monthly, and a lot of the local churches will be stepping up and providing hospitality. It should be a good time.
So do you then connect with the Catholic churches in the Wilmette community?
In Wilmette community, absolutely. We're connected with St. Francis Xavier and St. Joe's.
That is true. We're going to go to break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950. Our phone number, thanks to Jim Dish, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. We're dealing with Christian unity and interreligious connections. And I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Graziano Marcheschi. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break. We'll be right back.
Our family is made up of every race. We are young and old, rich and poor, men and women, sinners and saints. Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We establish orphanages and help the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing relief and comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other scholarly or religious institution. We developed the scientific method and laws of evidence. We founded the college system. We defend the dignity of all human life and uphold marriage and family. Cities were named after our revered saints who navigated a sacred path before us. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have consistently guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church. With over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith, for centuries we have prayed for you and our world, every hour of every day, whenever we celebrate the Mass. Jesus himself laid the foundation for our faith when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." For over 2,000 years, we've had an unbroken line of shepherds, guiding the Catholic Church with love and truth in a confused and hurting world. And in this world filled with chaos, hardship, and pain, it's comforting to know that some things remain consistent, true, and strong, our Catholic faith, and the eternal love that God has for all creation. If you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Ours is one family, united in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
Welcome back to Catholic Communion of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 950. It's 9:12 in the morning on this frigid Monday, brand new year. So happy new year to all of our listeners. Thank you for joining us for starting your new year with Catholic Radio. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation, co-hosting with the great, the one and the only, Father Greg Sakowicz, or Sakowicz.
In Polish.
In Polish,
that's
yes.
Right, Sakowicz.
We want to welcome to the program.
The Italian stallion.
That's right. Asayo Horibe, who is joining us because she is the president of the Buddhist Council of the Midwest, a trustee of the Council of the Parliament of World Religions, and a participant in the recent Melbourne Parliament. So welcome, Asayo.
Thank you so much.
Before we ask you some questions, just want to finish up with Pastor Tripp. Prayer service that's coming up on January the 24th, the World Day of Christian Unity. Tell us, who's going to be the preacher that day?
Reverend Dr. Zina Jacques, who's the pastor at the Community Church of Barrington, will be our preacher. She will be just coming off the heels of a large Martin Luther King Day service and has agreed to preach for us. It should be great. She's a fabulous preacher.
Hey, I'm curious. The spot that we just heard before we came back was one of our Catholics Come Home ads. Have you seen those on TV?
Yes, I have.
What do you think of them?
I like them. I think it's great. It sets a good tone. That's how we should be talking about this Christian unity idea.
Amen.
Is we're all supposed to come home.
It makes sense to come home. And before we forget, Tripp, what time is the prayer service going to be held on January 24th? Give us the location, the time,
sure.
And a phone number.
Absolutely. It's at 4 p.m. at the Community Church of Wilmette, which is located at 1020 Forest Avenue in Wilmette. And you can call the church office, which is 847-251-4370.
That number once again, Tripp.
847-251-4370.
And with us in studio beside Jason Rankin, as I mentioned, Asayo and Sister Joan McGuire, we've had Pastor Tripp on the phone. Jason, tell us about the recent Melbourne Parliament that you and Asayo participated in back in early December. So what happened? What was it all about?
Well, this was a gathering from December 3rd through 9th in Melbourne, Australia. So way
they
across the Pacific.
They send you to all the really tough assignments, right? Florida, Melbourne.
Right, Florida.
Poor guy.
Well, it was the Parliament itself was a fantastic event. Australia is a fantastic country and a good place to host this fourth of the modern parliaments of the world's religions. The first parliament, just to give you a little history, 1893, as part of the World's Fair, the Columbian Exposition here in Chicago. In the late 1980s, there was a group of religious leaders here in Chicago that decided that they wanted to commemorate that centennial and that it should be a little bit more frequently than every 100 years that a parliament should be held. So they had a parliament.
Sound like often the Cubs win a World Series.
That's true. It happens a little bit more often. So 1993 was the parliament centennial here in Chicago, about 8,000 participants. And then the group, the Council for a Parliament of the World's Religions, was established, which Sister Joan McGuire and Asayo Haribe are both members of the Board of Trustees, decided to have these every 5 to 6 years. And so 1999's Parliament was in Cape Town, which we attended. 2004's Parliament was in Barcelona, which we also attended. And then now 2009 in Melbourne. And the theme of this parliament was Make a World of Difference, Hearing Each Other, Healing the Earth.
Jason, how many people were in attendance?
A little over 5,000.
Wow.
So very good attendance. And it was a gathering of all the religions of the world, religious practitioners, leaders, figures who came together to get to know one another, to discuss issues of real concern.
Okay, don't work it there. What were some of the main issues of real concern?
Well, the two themes itself of hearing each other, of ways, forums to approach interreligious dialogue and to get to know one another. But the big two were healing the earth, both environmental and ecological sustainability, as well as a voice for the indigenous communities of the world. The focus, of course, here was in Australia, and that's what I want to ask Asayo more about, because she was the co-chair of the Special Indigenous Task Force.
Asayo, say something about your topic.
Well, I was honored to be a member of the Indigenous Task Force group, which brought representatives from the indigenous communities from all over the world. And we wanted them to be able to gather, to have their voice, and to express the concerns they have regarding their indigenous traditions that have been affected by governments, big business, other religions. And it was a time for them to be there, to be able to share with one another. And it was
Asai, what were some of the concerns that were raised?
Land rights, repatriation, loss of culture, global warming, repatriation, loss of their sacred objects, and desecration of their sacred lands and relics.
And that would have been involving what countries there?
The countries that were involved were Nigeria, Australia, Japan, India, South America, North America. So we had representatives from the First Nations in Canada, Native Americans from the United States.
You know, it seems like in the whole area, you hit a trigger word or phrase, global warming.
Yes.
You know, that has been a real hot button, hot topic, where on one side it says, what are we doing to our environment and this whole sense of global warming? Another side says, this is nothing but a big hoax. So it's like a battle going on. And again, we get to do a whole program on just global warming and people's opinions. So what are the things said about global warming coming out of the parliament?
Well, that it does exist. Mm-hmm. And in the United Nations Peace Millennium that existed, that was called together in 2001, the indigenous communities from all over the world gathered and told the world that the ice is melting. And this was 2001, how many years ago?
It would have been 9 years ago.
And now there is. Now the issue is also brought up because of the Copenhagen meeting.
We have to go to a break here, but before we do, about 2 or 3 years ago, we had a woman guest on the Catholic Community of Faith whose background was the environment and biology and birds. And she said, with the number of birds that are dying and species becoming extinct, we're not listening to the canaries in the coal mine in terms of the species going out of existence. We need to listen to that. I'm Father Greg Sackwith, along with Grazia Marcheschi. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with one of the men who did answer the call to the priesthood, Father Greg Sackwith. And we are proud to be part of this program that, in many ways, is the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. We're talking about Catholic unity. We're Christian unity. We're talking about the World Parliament of Religions. You know, I'm interested, since these world parliaments have been in faraway exotic places, where's the next one going to be and when?
Mm-hmm. Many of the countries and cities now are going to be vetted. They will submit proposals.
Oh, but no, not like the Olympic Committee.
Absolutely. They're going to be vetted.
It won't be the U.S. then.
You don't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Peoria.
Don't ask Mayor Daley. He's a little burned out on this.
One of the reasons why we picked Melbourne is because Melbourne, the country of Australia, had apologized to all the wrongs done to the Aboriginal Indigenous community there. And we picked Melbourne at this time. As in 2004, we picked Cape Town because of the issue of apartheid. And that was a big issue there. But one of the most significant issues that we brought up when we were in Melbourne, and it's not Melbourne, it's Melbourne, I was told. So
we're from Chicago here.
Yes.
Right. Melbourne, yeah.
Is that the indigenous communities gathered, and we brought them from all over the world so their voices could be heard. Hmm. I was honored to be part of the assembly that gathered with the exclusion of cameras, photographs, no taping, so they could speak freely about what was done to their indigenous community all over the world. And they spoke about access to water. They spoke about global warming. They spoke about the desecration of the environment and how all indigenous communities all over the world have honored the earth and have taken care of the earth and have not raped the earth, as was done by governments, big business, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very important that when we gather, and we don't go and tell everybody how to behave, but people come and gather and share information and let everyone know. But many common issues still arise. So this is the reason that we have a parliament. It's a convening agent.
In this particular parliament myself, I was very moved by the indigenous communities, the breakout sessions, the plenaries that were devoted to these topical areas. So I think it's very important, and everything that ASIO has done in terms of organization for all of this is extremely important. The placement of the Parliament itself was on the Melbourne Convention Center, which was on the Yarra River, which goes through downtown Melbourne. So that also added significance to this topic and the ecological consciousness that was part of it.
Sayo, what you said about the land being sacred, there's always been a topic that I've enjoyed reading about, that this earth, our home, which is a gift from God, and the need to preserve it, cherish it, it is sacred for future generations. So I'm sure that was a very important topic that was talked about, how we are ruining the land. It always amazes me. People love to drive out into the country, make all these trips across our beautiful nation or world. At the same time, other people that are destroying the land. And once destroyed, it's gone. It is gone. So I think that topic is so important, that the earth, everything, all is gift. All is gift. Whenever you have a gift, you must have a giver. And our faith says that God is the giver of all gifts. It's sacred. It's special, and to treat it that way. Just kind of flipping the topic a little bit, before we go off the air here with the first half hour, Pastor Tripp, what is the theme this year for the Prayer for Christian Unity? The whole overall theme.
The whole overall thing? It's from Luke's Gospel. You are a witness to these things. Again, it's this idea of the visible unity of the church. That's what we're striving to, and those of us who are involved in the conversation need to witness to what actually is happening, whether it's in Melbourne or in Wilmette.
So when we gather to pray for Christian unity, we're really joining Jesus in his great prayer.
Absolutely.
That all might be one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we've asked the Christians, even if they cannot, usually these week of prayer services are on cold January days, but this can go throughout the year, and to reflect on that last chapter of Luke, because it is, you'll see the women being witnesses to Christ's resurrection, you'll see Jesus being witness to the men on the way, or the people on the way to Emmaus, and then Jesus sending out the followers of his church to be witnesses.
I also want to give a plug for anyone who wants, who's out in a parish or school and wants more information on the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. We have a number of resources. You can call our office itself, 312-534-5325.
That number again, Jason?
312-534-5325, and that's the Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs. We also are on the Archdiocese's website.
Which is www.archchicago.org, and click to where?
Click on Departments, and then click on Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs.
I really like the theme, and the key word is witness. There's a wonderful bumper sticker I saw about 10 years ago that I memorized. There was a car in front of me, but it's profound. And it goes like this. If we were arrested for being Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us? It's a great line. If we were arrested for being Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us? That's a powerful line. And talk about that whole sense of witness. Want to thank in a very special way this first half hour Sister Joan McGuire, the Director of Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs, Jason Rankin, Assistant to the Director of Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs, Asayo Harabi, President of the Buddhist Council of the Midwest, and by phone we had Pastor Tripp Hudgens, Pastor of the Community Church of Wilmette. Thank you very much for being with us here on this first half hour. Our phone number is 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sacks, along with a great co-host, Graziano Marcheschi.
Good we'll to be know back such great people are taking care of this
break.
Very important issue.
And do not touch that dial.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
As we celebrate the Year for Priests, look for stories about how we honor our priests, in the Pope's words, with gratitude for their work and witness of their life.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com to view our photo gallery and catch up on the latest news. Subscribe to the Catholic New World online, at your parish church during our subscription drive, or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Come enjoy more than 250 wines from around the world at Catholic Charities' 9th Annual Divine Affair on January 31st at the Union League Club in Chicago. Catholic Charities hosts this annual event to benefit its self-sufficiency programs for poor families. Tickets cost $100 and include wine tasting and appreciation seminars and a silent auction. A special reduced rate will be offered to designated drivers. Visit www.catholiccharities.net/divine or call 312-655-7912 for details.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM on this frigid Monday morning in Chicago, but it's January, so what do we kind of expect?
It's
but especially for those that are homeless, please, I hope they can find shelter because it's cold out there. Our phone number is 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. Jim and Michael, I think I have that phone number now memorized, and at least for today.
Until the next show.
And for the second... until Friday. The second half hour, the annual placement test for 8th grade students wishing to attend a Catholic high school in the Archdiocese of Chicago in the fall of 2010 is scheduled for this Saturday, January 9th at 8 o'clock in the morning. And our in-studio guest includes Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, the superintendent of Catholic schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And joining us with Sister Mary Paul is Jo Marie Yankus, the assistant superintendent of high schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Jo Marie has been with us on the program before via the telephone. And, of course, Sister Mary Paul is a regular guest here on the program. And also joining us in studio, Jim Quaid, associate superintendent of schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Welcome to all this morning.
It's thrilling to
Thank
be here,
you.
Greg.
Great to have you. And Sister Mary Paul, first of all, you are doing a marvelous job as superintendent. I know it's a very
Everybody
tough
tells
job.
Her that.
That's not true, but you know what?
It's a tough job.
It's a very tough job, but I have great pastors, great principals, wonderful teachers, families that care. It's not me. It's everybody working together. So
it's
thank
really
you, Father Greg.
That's a team really effort.
You thank bring you. A great spirit, though.
You do.
Hey, you know
you
what?
You do.
And I stole these folks from high schools, you know. Joe Marie was principal of Resurrection, and Dr. Quaid was principal of Fenwick. So when this sudden opportunity to come talk about the high school placement test popped up last Wednesday, I said, ooh, this is great. I know a couple of fabulous high school people we can bring to talk about.
Well, you know, that's also the mark of a good leader, when you know how to recruit.
Yeah,
fine.
I call it steal, but it is recruiting.
Now, Brad, why can't the Bears do this?
I think we need to send Sister Mary Paul over there for a little one-on-one with
the
McCaskies.
The new head coach of Bears, Sister Mary Paul McCaughey. You heard it here on Relevant Radio. That's right, breaking news.
Bad.
It's not even ESPN. Well, Sister Mary Paul, what is happening again in detail for this Saturday?
Well, we are very excited. We hope that hundreds, thousands, literally, of 8th graders will show up at our doorsteps with two number two leads and, what, $25 now, Jo Marie?
$25 and a calculator.
Yep, and can take this placement or entrance exam in our school. So I'll let Jo Marie kind of talk a little bit. She's been working with our high school leaders to reformulate the test and the way admissions process works.
So what has been the reformation of the program or the testing?
Well, one of the great things about what happens on Saturday is parents are able to drop their students off at the schools, and the students are taking, while the students are taking the test, the parents are listening to all kinds of programs and procedures and policies and things from various people in the high school, so they feel very welcomed while the students are taking the tests. Then after the students
Stop right there, Jo Marie. Okay. I've never heard of that in terms of when I was coming out of eighth grade. That's 1967.
Did they have high schools back then?
They didn't have pencils. We were using charcoal. And when did this thing come in about as a young person is taking the test, the parents are meeting in another room about what you just mentioned? When did that start?
Oh, many of the schools started it at least, I would say, 5 to 10 years ago. And it's just one more way for the parents to be able to understand this admissions process. You know, one piece of the puzzle is the test, but the other pieces of the puzzle are the grade school grades, the recommendations that come from their grade schools. If the parents want to call the high schools and say, can I give you this piece of information or that piece of information? And so the whole thing goes together as a puzzle. And, it's not just that test. The test is just the beginning of putting together the puzzle. It's a wonderful process, and it's designed to be able to meet the needs of students and their families.
Now, Jim, when I was young regarding the eighth grade admission test for high school, later on the ACT, SAT, personally, I have never done well on those type of exams. I think I put too much pressure on myself and would try to analyze the question in detail too much. So what do you tell a young person or a parent, you know, regarding the result of that test? Because as Jo Marie had mentioned, it's a composite of a lot that goes into a decision. It's a puzzle. So what do you tell parents when they say to you, but my child I know will not do well on this test. They don't do well on that type of testing.
I think the key thing is they have to keep their anxiety down. They can't get too excited about it. They have to be familiar with what kind of test the particular high school is going to offer, because the different high schools offer different tests. Some offer the Terra Nova, some offer the Explorer, some offer the high school placement test. So to know what is expected as far as the test itself, you know, they also have to have confidence in themselves that they've had an excellent preparation in elementary school. They're going to do just fine on the test. They need to get enough sleep the night before. They need to know how to manage their time. So, I think the main thing at this point is just to get them to relax, do your best, understand that the standardized tests that you took in elementary school are also going to be used in the admissions process. So if you did well on those, that's a factor in your favor. And, you know, just pay attention when you go in to take the test, because they'll explain to you all the different factors they're going to consider if they're going to admit you or not. So listen carefully about that. And then follow up on it.
Plenty of sleep the night before. That's pretty critical, isn't it?
I think, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And especially because it's 8 a.m. and most eighth graders aren't used to rousing themselves, you know, at 7 a.m. to get someplace.
On a Saturday morning.
Yeah. Now, do all the schools do their testing on the same day?
Yes. Well, there's a couple of exceptions that of schools that don't take the test, Cristo Rey, for example, but for the most, and in Waukegan as well. But from all the others, really, pretty much offer the test.
You mentioned, Jim, that the schools are using different tests. Are you testing only for that specific school where you're taking the test, or can your score be distributed to other schools that you might be interested in?
Some of the really very selective schools who have more students apply than they could possibly admit expect you to take the test there. The philosophy behind that is that they need to be the first choice. They're not going to admit somebody who took the test someplace else and bump someone who that was their first choice.
Okay.
But a lot of the schools will transfer the scores.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is 9:38 on this frigid Monday morning in Chicago. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Gratia Marcheski, and our guests are Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, Jo Marie Yankus, and Jim Quaid. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
When was the last time you spoke with your neighbors? How are they holding up in these current hard economic times? People in your neighborhood, even the person living right next door, might be struggling. It could be a few late mortgage payments, a food shortage, or even problems with substance abuse or domestic violence. At Catholic Charities, your neighbors are in our care. We work to feed, clothe, counsel, and shelter anyone in need. Consider donating to our Neighbors in Need Fund. Visit us at CatholicCharities.net or call 312-655-7525.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Thank you for spending this hour of your day with us on Relevant Radio. This is the Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with Father Greg Sackowitz.
Stay on your side of the table.
I have coffee over there. I'm so sorry, Father Greg. We don't want the lay and cleric commingling too much here, huh?
Push over.
He's such a good guy, I tell you. High five. We're talking about one of my favorite topics. As a former Catholic high school teacher, Catholic high schools are near and dear to my heart. And we're talking about placement tests. In order to gain admittance to a Catholic high school, everyone needs to take an admittance or placement test. Is that correct?
This coming Saturday, right.
This coming Saturday. Now, say my child went to one of these more selective schools and was not accepted. What happens to him or her? What's the process of finding another school that might be a good home for him or her?
Before we talk about the process, let me just say we really want every child in a Catholic school, and we believe that there's a Catholic school for everyone, that you'll have there's a home of the heart and a home of the mind, and that our Catholic high schools really help form a strong identity for young people. So that said, there's a home for you. It may not necessarily be the place you tested.
Now, Sister Mary Paul, before we even get to a Joe Marie, and I want you to elaborate a bit, with a parent out there listening on to the program this morning, why choose a Catholic high school? They can come back to you and say, if my child goes to a public high school, I save a lot of money. What difference does it make to go to a Catholic high school? What is your response?
I always just say, you know, any other investment you make depreciates in value. You have a new car, you pull it out of the parking lot. The minute you pull it out of the dealers, it's worth less. Catholic education is worth more. You are paying, I used to say, the cost of a luxury car. Maybe now it's a home payment to some of the high schools. But really, it's an investment for a lifetime. What you really have done is you've said to this young person, your faith, your achievement, your integrity really matter to me. And I'm going to put you in a culture and an experience whereby you can excel and grow to your full manhood and womanhood in God and be able to give back to community. Catholic schools' ethos and culture is unbelievable. And we know from hearing, and anytime somebody feels disappointed, it's like, hey, this is a Catholic school. This shouldn't happen here. And you know what? They're right. Catholic school, it is an unbelievable time, as Eric Erickson says, to form that an individual identity in a culture of service.
I need to give a big amen to that. As also a parent of three kids who've gone through Catholic grade school and Catholic high school, and I'm not saying this to toot my horn because there are many, many parents like my wife and I, and some who've put a lot more kids than the three that we did. It was a lot of money. You know, if I add it all up, it's a lot of money. You know, it's a good, nice retirement nest egg. I don't regret one cent, not one cent, that I paid for all those years of Catholic education. They really have helped to shape my children, and I would do it all over again.
Thank you, and I think all three of us probably remember that last tuition check that was sent with a thank you, and that's totally amazing. And but the biggest thank you is seeing our young people go out and be practicing Christians, practicing Catholics, and bringing home their own gifts back to God.
And I would also want to second that. I was a class of 1971 from Notre Dame High School in Niles, and between Mary Seat of Wisdom Grammar School, 67, and Notre Dame in Niles, 71, there is no doubt that beside my parents, but especially the love of my mother in terms of a priestly vocation, I was a senior at Notre Dame High School. I turned down a scholarship on early admission to Northwestern to enter the seminary. And a big part of it was the priests, the brothers, the faculty of Notre Dame High School in those days. And I thank God for the gift of Notre Dame High School and who I am today. There's no question that if I'd gone to a public high school, I'm sure it would have been a fine education, but somehow that religious component was such a profound difference in my life at a very important age. You know, teenage years are tough years. And as a teenager, you had the ups and downs like everybody else. But Notre Dame, from my own experience, and like Gratz mentioned, you know, from my experience, if I had it over again, it'd be Notre Dame. And where I am today, I thank God for my family and the Catholic education.
Wow.
There's no question. I think this is – so this topic today is important. And for anybody listening, if you're on the fence about a Catholic high school education, as Sister Mary Paul mentioned, you are making an investment for life that will only appreciate as the years go on.
Absolutely true. It's a cosmic academic, mm-hmm. but it's more than that. There's a true value added.
Right. I think one of the strengths in the Catholic schools, and our sons went there, and my husband and I continue to say, it is the best investment, even our house. It is a better investment than anything else we've ever done, because as we look at our sons now, as they're in their early 30s and see what they're doing with their lives, they not only work hard, they have wonderful work ethics, but they also have reached their potential, and they give to others. And that's the part, I think the two things that we teach them in the Catholic schools is to serve others as you would serve yourself, but also to reach your potential. And that doesn't always happen in other schools. But in the Catholic schools, I think the teachers and the administrators and everybody really try to say to that student, who are you? Let God help you. Let God walk with you. And then reach your potential to the best of your ability. And I think those are the strengths. I wanted to talk a little bit, though, too, about the placement. Get back to the placement test and just mention that the letters of acceptance go out on February the 12th, which is a Friday. And if students are not accepted at a particular school, they need to know that the high school that they did test at will share their tests with other schools. And actually, most of the high schools will call the parents and say, how can I help you? We're also making a new effort this year to let the grade school that they went to know that they might not have been accepted. Therefore, the principal at the grade school can work with the families and the students to find another school for them. Because remember, it's not the name of the school you go to, it's the best fit of the school for you. It's where you will be able to really shine and grow to your ability.
Can you maybe say something more along those lines? I think as Jo Marie so beautifully said, it's not the name of the school, but the best fit. And I think parents need to know that. Say more about that particular issue regarding the best fit.
Right. Well, I think that all... I mean, at this point, you should have done your research as far as what each school's mission is. And each school is very different depending on which order runs them or if they're an archdiocesan high school. So you want to look at what your child's abilities are and you want to see what the best possible match is with that. I think another thing that Catholic education really brings to you is the focus is always on the individual student, no matter where the school is. You don't have teachers' unions. You don't have all that focus on a lot of other types of issues. It's always on the child. And, you know, that's a huge positive for all the schools. But hopefully they've done the research at this point.
We're going to need to move to a break. When we come back, I'd like to ask you how a parent and a child can do that kind of research, you know, the shopping around for the best fit school. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith. We're talking about Catholic high schools and this Saturday's upcoming placement test. We'll continue our conversation with three of our top administrators at the Catholic Schools Office when we return. Don't go away.
Hello, I'm Lisa Paletto, the Catholic Charities Junior Board Manager, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute. 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. Thanks for your help with our Christmas programs. Don't stop now. We have some exciting events coming up as we head into the new year. Thursday, January 7th, the Junior Board Social Committee is holding a Divine Affair wine tasting preview at 721 North LaSalle. Come and meet Junior Board members, taste amazing wines, and support the Catholic Charity self-sufficiency programs. Sunday, January 10th is the next Faith Committee Mass and Brunch. Bishop Gustavo Garcia Siller will celebrate Mass in the chapel at 721 North LaSalle with brunch and conversation to follow. If you're interested in volunteering with the Junior Board, come to our Volunteer Committee meeting on Monday, January 11th to hear about upcoming opportunities. If you're into social fundraising, join us on Wednesday, January 27th for the next Social Committee meeting. There's always a way to help your neighbors at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our Junior Board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit www.catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Have you seen the TV spots inviting people to return to the practice of their Catholic faith? We'll talk with Cardinal George about the major faith initiative called Catholics Come Home. And we'll bring you video highlights of Catholic celebrations from Our Lady of Guadalupe to the Festival of Faith.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Time is coming up on 952 on this cold, frigid Monday morning, January 4th, the Feast of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. And I'm Father
Greg Sadkowitz,
an educator, and Graziano Marcheschi, also an educator, too. And with us in studio for the last half hour, Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, Joe Marie Yankus, and Jim Quaid. And Joe Marie, we were talking off the air, how do grammar school principals help in the whole process? And also, before we close, I want to touch on the whole financial component regarding Catholic high school education.
Right. Let's suppose that a family decides that they're going to send their son or daughter to a specific school to test. And then in the interim decide, maybe, you know, I might want to think about one other school, but I didn't have the time to go to the open houses. They can go to the Archdiocese website for sure, but a more personal way might be to go back to their grammar school principal and say, we tested over here, but what about this? Or even after, they might receive a letter that might say, this might not be a good fit for you, they can go back to the principal of their grammar school and say, what other schools are available in the area? You know my son or daughter. Help me with this. Because we're making a big push throughout the Archdiocese to make sure that we get as many of our Catholic elementary students into our Catholic high schools.
And Jim, the financial component aspect of the whole thing.
You know, there's an awful lot of financial aid available. And it comes in two different forms. The Archdiocese has rules about financial aid, and all of our high schools belong to the Illinois High School Association, and they have rules also. So the first type of financial aid is purely academic, where if you scored a certain – they spell it out to you beforehand, but at most schools, it's if you scored a certain level on their entrance exam, they will give you X amount of dollars. So I get a 99 – I'm in line for a $2,000 scholarship. I get a 95, I'm in line for a $1,000 scholarship. It varies by school, so that's worth checking out. And then the rest of it is based on financial need. So there's a process that each school has when you would fill forms out, and they look at a wide range of things. So again, that's something that's important to ask the school. What are some of the factors that you consider? I mean, naturally, there's going to be what the economic factor is, but they might be worried about diversity. They might be concerned about the location where the student comes from. Legacies are always important, you know, trying to keep families together.
When you say legacy, what are you referring to?
Brothers and sisters, fathers,
been to the school before.
Mothers, aunts and uncles, right, grandparents.
Siblings.
You know, I mean, if it's a third, fourth generation, that's kind of important. And then, what makes you unique? Maybe you don't speak English at home. Maybe you're an immigrant from Poland. I mean, those are types of things that all schools have different processes for financial aid, but it's important to see what they place an importance on.
But almost every school has a very, almost like colleges, has a very, somebody who examines the family's need, usually using the income tax forms, that really looks at it seriously and off-site, just in a sense of fairness.
Now, I know shadow days are an important discernment tool. You know, eighth grade students go to a school. Is it too late now, once you've taken the placement test, to try something like that?
They've shadowed already, but some schools do allow post-testing shadowing or visiting. But for the most part, the open houses, the shadowing are gone. Your best resource is probably going on to a school's website or taking a look at some of the fine materials that each school puts out about itself. You can actually go and get the profile for the students, find out what their – most high schools are very open about their average ACTs, about exactly what they offer in terms of service. Their whole curriculum is often posted. So you can get somewhat of a feel if you're still up in the air.
Now, we live and breathe this kind of stuff, so we know that there may be a cluster of high schools in a given area, but some parents may know of school X and not know that Y and Z are also nearby.
Yeah.
How do they find that out?
Right. Again, I think the best way to do it is to go back to their elementary principals and maybe some of the 7th and 8th grade teachers in their school, too, because they are very familiar with all of the high schools in the area. And I think we need to remember two things. There are single-gender high schools out there. There are girls' schools, boys' schools, co-ed large schools, co-ed small schools. So there's a lot of variety out there. The other thing I wanted to add about financial aid, almost all of the high schools will have financial aid packets available at the test on Saturday. So make sure when you drop off your student for the test, if you don't stay for a presentation of some kind, that you ask, where's the financial aid packet? Take it home with you, complete it as quickly as possible, and get it turned in, because there are deadlines for those things
and
to be turned in.
Some schools won't give that financial aid packet until after the student's been accepted.
Right.
So that it will go out with the information in February.
Acceptance.
Yeah. So
I
also want to tell you, the Archdiocesan website has a map and a locator to your question, Grass.
Okay.
So it's great. You can actually go on and it pops up where the schools are. It's very cool.
That's great.
And I'd go on to a school then website that you're interested in, Google it, don't you think, Jim? I mean,
absolutely.
That would just
yeah.
boom, you know. And and you'd be surprised how close these schools are together.
Yeah, I'm thinking that would be especially helpful for parents who are opting for Catholic education for the first time. You know, if their child hasn't gone to a Catholic grade school, then they don't have that principal to go back to.
That's about 20% of the kids, at least.
And that number is growing. Another place that they could go possibly is to their parish, because their parish would be able to know some of the local high schools. They may not even have a school in their parish, but that parish may know of high schools in the area.
I've had parents come to me
and
talk about the schools in the local area, and they all know I'm from Notre Dame, being the Seminary of the Woods there. And so, again, we're running out of time. Saturday, 8 o'clock, bring two number two pencils, bring
$25. A calculator.
Calculator. Come well-rested, have breakfast, and as Jim said, relax.
If you bring a check, make sure you make it out to the school.
Make it out to the particular school, not to Sister Mary Paul McCaughey.
Please, no.
Okay.
Oh, well, maybe.
Okay, we need to bring today's program to a close. I want to thank you in a very special way. Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, the Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago, along with Joe Marie Yonkis, Assistant Superintendent of High Schools, Assistant Superintendent of High Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and Dr. Jim Quaid, Associate Superintendent of Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Thank you very much for joining us. Special thank you to co-host Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation, the Archdiocese. Great job by our producer, Jim Dish. Wonderful work by our engineer, Michael May. To all our listeners, God bless and have a wonderful week.
Great job, guys.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.